Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that whether you're watching online or you're here in person, that you're joining with us here today, and especially if it's your first time, I'm really glad you are here as well. Today, we're going to continue on in our series, The Seven Deadly Sins, taking a look at today, not at just one sin, but two sins here this morning. It is a two-for-one sin Sunday. That is what today is, okay? So today we're going to be taking a look at the sins of sloth and the sins of gluttony. We're going to be taking a look at that here together. But if you're just joining with us, the whole point of this series has really been to take a look at these different sins, these different categories of sin, and to see, are they at all in our lives? And if so, how can we live freed from them? So before we dive into taking a look at what gluttony is and what the sin of sloth is, I want to remind you of some of our ground rules for this series. The first, the ground rule of this series is that we are not looking to make anyone feel guilty or ashamed. I actually really believe that God doesn't guilt people into things. God can convict, but it's not about guilty, and it's not about guilt and feeling shameful for things. Instead, the whole point of this series is actually for us to see how we can live free from these sins. Because these sins are around in our world. We've already taken a look at pride, greed, and lust, and those sins are a part of our world, are they not? So it's important for us to take a look at then, if they're a part of our world, are they also maybe a part of our hearts, a part of our lives, and to see how we can live free from them. That's the whole point. We're looking not to make people feel guilty or ashamed. We're looking to find freedom and forgiveness from Christ and these sins that are a part of our world and are also likely a part of our lives. The third rule with this is that we've really been emphasizing that this throughout the series is that this is a personal thing that we are looking at. And what I mean by this is that we want to be focusing in on whether these sins apply to us, not to other people. Or really practically, what I would love for you not to do is to not send the sermon on pride to your arrogant mother-in-law. That is not helpful, and that's not what this series is about, right? And that today, as we take a look at the sin of sloth, I don't want you like nudging your teenager or something like that either. This is really about how does this affect us personally? And if these sins are there, we want to be freed from them, and that's what Jesus does. Jesus' response to sin is not to shame people for it. Jesus' response to sin is to free people from it. Amen? That's what he does. That's the kind of work that we are looking for in our own lives here today. And so today, as I said, I want to take a look at two different sins, the sin of sloth and the sin of gluttony. And so to begin with, I want to begin with the sin of gluttony. And I know, as soon as I say the sin of gluttony, probably the majority of us, what we instantly start to think of is overeating, and we think of food, that gluttony is related to food in our culture. We probably also think about things like body image and whether our image meets the standards of the culture around us. But I want to be clear right off the bat as we kind of dive into exploring what this sin is and how to live free from it, that the sin of gluttony is not just about eating food. The sin of gluttony is not just about eating food. It's actually much more deadly than just that. And so today, to begin with, what I want to begin with is a strange place. I want to begin by teaching you some statistical math. How does that sound to everybody here this morning? Yeah. I know that's what you were expecting as you came in today, right? Statistical math. I want to teach you something that is called the inverted U. And it's a statistical grouping of different things. And I think it'll help us to understand, really, what the sin of gluttony is. So what the inverted U is a kind of graph that is used in statistical groupings that are often a bit surprising or unconventional. Malcolm Gladwell defines kind of the three patterns of an inverted U this way. He says, inverted U curves have three different parts, and each part follows a different logic. There is the left side, where doing more or having more things makes things better. There is the flat middle, where doing more doesn't make much of a difference. And then there's the right side, where doing more or having more makes things worse. And I know that probably didn't clear it up at all, but I'm going to show you the inverted U on the screen, and I want to then help us understand it. And to do that, I want to talk a little bit about disciplining children. Now, I think all parents have had the experience of having to actually discipline a child. If you're a parent and you have not had that experience, I would just say, if your kids are that perfect, keep that to yourself. That's what I think we should do with that. But all kids, I think, at some point, need some discipline and they need some structure. And so that's helpful in a little bit. A little bit of discipline is helpful, right? Then there's the middle portion where having some more discipline, it doesn't really hurt or harm. But what I know, too, and if you're a parent, you might have realized this, there comes a point where if you discipline your children too much, their behavior actually only gets worse. Has anyone ever seen this before? Right? It's almost like too much of something. That a little bit of it is good. The moderate amount is fine, but too much discipline, too much structure, kids rebel, kids actually start to behave worse. It's actually not helpful. This is what the inverted U teaches us, that there's some things that a little bit is good, a moderate amount is fine, but then too much of it, and it actually becomes harmful to you. This is what the inverted U is about. And you could see this not only related to discipline, you could also talk about it related to stress. That, for example, having a little bit of stress actually is good. It wakes you up for something. That if you have a little bit of stress before a presentation, that's a good thing. You have a little bit of adrenaline, that's helpful. Too much stress, though, if you go all the way over to the right side, if you have too much of it, it becomes really debilitating, where all of a sudden you like fight, freeze, or flee, right? Those kind of responses end up happening. That a little bit of stress is good, a moderate amount is okay, too much stress, and it's actually very, very harmful. This is what the inverted U teaches, is that there are some things that are good in little and moderate amounts. You could also use this related to something like, let's say, coffee. A little bit of coffee in the morning wakes you up. That's great. That's not a problem. If you have four pots a day, that is a problem, right? That isn't going to be healthy. That isn't going to be helpful. So often in our culture, I think this is what happens in our culture. Often in our culture, we think if a little bit of something is good, more of it must always be better. I think that's how our culture thinks. If there's a little bit of something that's good, we should just have more and more and more, and that is always better. And what I want to suggest to you is that the inverted U, what it teaches us, and this idea of more always being better, that's actually the sin of gluttony. I actually think that's what gluttony is. That gluttony is when good things have gone bad, when good things have no limits, or where there is too much of a good thing. I want to show you how this is how the Bible talks about gluttony in one single verse today. I want to take a look at Proverbs 25, verse 16. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up there to Proverbs. We're going to be in Proverbs for the entire sermon. And today, rather than looking at a lot of verses of gluttony, I want to give to you the best one that I think the Bible teaches about gluttony. And we read this in Proverbs 25, verse 16. This is from the NLT. It says this: do you like honey? Don't eat too much, or it will make you sick. Right? That's what this proverb says. Do you like honey? Don't eat too much, or it will make you sick. Or the ESV puts it this way: if you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. That's a great verse, isn't it? If you've never read the book of Proverbs, it's incredible. We're going to take a look at it today, but honestly, there's some great verses in there. Right? If you have enough honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it out. The NIV puts it this way: if you find honey, eat just enough, too much of it, and you will vomit. This is the verse that I want to take a look at here for gluttony here today. And what Solomon is saying is similar to that inverted U we kind of took a look at. He's saying that a little bit of honey is good, a medium amount is fine, but too much of it is bad and you'll actually throw it up. And I think back in that day and age, honey was like the sweetest thing around, right? They didn't have like refined cane sugar. They only had honey. And so what Solomon is saying is, let's say you find something that is so sweet, that is so good, that is, you know, really wonderful. You can only should have just a little bit of it. You should have moderation with it. That a little bit of honey is good. A medium amount is fine, but too much of it is bad. That the principle I think Solomon is trying to teach us here today is this. It's simply that too much of a good thing can quickly become a bad thing. That's what I think Solomon is trying to teach us with this verse. Too much of a good thing, a little bit of honey is good, can quickly become a bad thing when you have too much of it. And I think this principle of too much of a good thing actually applies to many different areas in our life, not just to food. That the sin of gluttony is really having too much of a good thing. So let's see what some examples might be if we take this verse and this principle in our lives. I think we could talk about watching TV or Netflix. Right? I think that's a fine thing. There's nothing wrong with coming home and being, you know, wanting to recharge, is what I was trying to say. There's nothing wrong with wanting to recharge and coming home and watching a show on Netflix. That's fine. Binging 8 seasons of something isn't a good thing. Right? I think Solomon would say, that's too much of it. Be careful lest you vomit it out. I think that this principle can actually also apply to work. Work is a good thing. Work puts honey on the table. There's nothing wrong with that. Overworking or being a workaholic is incredibly dangerous and incredibly deadly to you and to those around you. I think Solomon would say something like, if you found enough work, just do a moderate amount. Otherwise, if you have your fill of it, and you will vomit it out. What about resting and maybe relaxing? I actually think it's important for us to recharge, and those are good things. Like, I have some habits, like when I'm at home, I love to put on a record and listen to like Otis Redding or Leon Bridges or a bunch of other people. That's all wonderful and good. A little bit of recharging and relaxing is great. Too much of it, and actually becomes unhealthy. If your hobbies or if your kind of me time takes you away from the responsibilities you have, that's not going to be good. I think Solomon would say, too much of it, and you'll vomit it out. Or to get really personal today, I'm not sure if you saw the sin of gluttony relating to this, but to get really personal today, what about how much time you spend on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, or just texting or whatever? All of that is great, right? Like, it's not bad. Finding a recipe on TikTok is wonderful. If you spend 6 hours on social media in a day, that is not healthy, that is not helpful, that is not good. That what I think Solomon's principle here is just really clear is that gluttony is too much of something that is good. It's like that inverted U. A little bit is fine, a moderate amount is fine, too much of something, and you will vomit it out and it will become harmful to you and to those around you. That what I really think Solomon is teaching here is he is teaching that we can't have too much of a good thing. That when we have too much of a good thing, it becomes a sin of gluttony. And obviously, this would relate to food, but it's not just about food. I think the principle is much bigger than that. So what is the sin of gluttony? I think it is too much of a good thing, or good things gone bad is really what it is. It's having too much honey and vomiting it out. It's having too much honey and becoming sick of it. It's having too much of something that is good in your life that quickly becomes a bad thing in your life. So gluttony as a sin is often very hard to see because it often involves good and okay things. Like I said, honey isn't bad, Netflix isn't bad, texting isn't bad, too much of it, and it becomes the sin of gluttony. So what's the sin of gluttony? It is too much of a good thing. Next, I want to talk a little bit about sloth before we discover how we can live free from these. I want to talk a little bit about sloth. And to begin with, I think that the deadly sin of sloth, to many of us, does not seem deadly at all. Like sleeping in, watching Netflix, and then taking a nap doesn't sound very deadly. It actually sounds kind of nice, does it not? Right? Like, it actually sounds good. I mean, even last week, we went away as a family up north to a cottage. And while we were there, all we did was play board games, we read, we sat in the hot tub. We did do a polar plunge, actually. The water was quite cold. I'll show you a picture of it. This is all of us before we go out. As you can see, yes, it was quite cold. You know, I was just floating next to an iceberg is basically what happened. So here's my question then. Is that slothful to have a week of recharging and resting? Is that slothful? I don't think it is. So what is the sin of sloth? That's what I want to take a look at. The sin of sloth today, what I want to encourage you to think of is this. The sin of sloth is not about resting and recharging. The sin of sloth is actually about refusing responsibilities in your life. That's what I think the sin of sloth is. The sin of sloth is not about resting and recharging. It's actually about refusing the responsibilities in your life. And I want to show you this, how it works in Proverbs. And so I want to read to you a verse from Proverbs 26, verse 14. We're going to have three different verses from Proverbs today for the book of sloth. From the book of Proverbs with Solomon. The book of sloth would be a great title, though, for a book if someone wants to write it. I think that's incredible. Let's read this. We read this. As the doors turn on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on the bed. Is that not an incredible verse? Let me read it again. As the door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on the bed. That word there, sluggard, is the word asel in Hebrew, and it's often translated as lazy people, but I think the word sluggard is just so much better, right? That is just so much better. It's one we should talk about a lot. And here, Solomon is giving us an image. He's giving us like a picture, right? He's saying that the sin of sloth is similar to somebody who's like a hinge that turns this way and that way, that a sluggard just stays in bed turning this way and that way all the time. And if you have an older translation, the word will be sluggard in there. And here, what I think Solomon is trying to point out, that Solomon is not against sleeping in this instance. I don't think that's what this is all about. Here, Solomon isn't against someone sleeping in. Instead, what he's really against is someone refusing to get out of bed to do what they are called to. I think that's the point of this verse. He says, describing what a sluggard is, as a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on the bed. That being a sluggard or a slothful person, that someone who doesn't want to get out of bed to do all the things that they are called to do. That being a slothful person isn't about taking time to regain and refresh your energy for life. Being a slothful person is when you refuse to use your energy, what God has given to you, your gifts, all the things, actually for those around you. That Solomon is teaching here that really what a sluggard is somebody who refuses to get out of bed to do what they are called to do. Now, in general, I believe we often need more nuance in most of our conversations. So I want to just be clear with something in this verse that I think could be mistaken with this verse. That Solomon here, I just want to be really clear with this, is not condemning people who, because of medical conditions or mental health challenges, struggle with engaging in the world. Because there are some people who legitimately, because of true mental health and medical reasons, simply can't get out of bed. That's not what he's talking about, though. He is talking about people who are able to get up and out of bed and are able to do the responsibilities that they're supposed to, and they just choose not to. That's what being slothful is. It's about a refusal to actually get out of bed and do the things that you are called to do. That a sluggard is like someone who just turns like a hinge back and forth, refusing to ever get out of bed. Let's take a look at some other verses that have similar themes of this idea of refusing to enter into the world to do the things that you are called to do. I want to take a look at Proverbs 26, verse 13. And again, I think it's a great, great verse. Like, it has so much imagery with it. We read this. The lazy person, or the sluggard, is full of excuses, saying, I can't go outside because there might be a lion on the road. Yes, I'm sure there's a lion out there. That's what slothful or sluggards do. A lazy person, a sluggard, is full of excuses, saying, I can't go outside because there might be a lion on the road. Yes, I'm sure there's a lion out there. And this verse here is not taking, it's not about taking precautions against lions. I want to be really clear. If there's a lion out on the road, I'm not going outside either. Right? I don't know who I would call, but I certainly would not go outside. This also, for me, includes also things like skunks, coyotes, or a band of raccoons. All of these things would keep me indoors if I saw them on our street, if I saw them on our driveway or something like that. But here, Solomon is not against taking precautions when he talks about this verse. Instead, what he says is that a sluggard or a lazy person is full of excuses to never do the things that they should do. That's what a thoughtful person is, that they're full of excuses to never do the things that they are called to do. I see this sometimes with my kids, and I love all of my kids, and Hudson's doing lights today, which is great, and he has not screwed up at all, so that's also wonderful. He told me on the way in that in his lighting career, he's only screwed up twice. That's what he told me on the way in, so I love that he thinks that there is a lighting career for him. That's great. But our kids do occasionally make up excuses to not do the things that they are called to do. I don't know if you've had kids or if they've done this, but for us, that comes up fairly frequently. They might say things like, no, 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 Dad, that's somebody else's chore, not my chore. Or, no, 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 Dad, don't worry, Mom said I didn't have to do that. Or, no, 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 I'm too tired, Dad, I can't do that. These are all slothful things. That the slothful person, what they do is they make up excuses. They make up excuses so they don't have to do the things that they are called to do. That again, like that first verse, they're just like a sluggard turning left and right in bed. They aren't doing the things they are called to do. A lazy person is just full of excuses. A sluggard is just full of excuses, saying, I can't go outside because there might be a lion. He's not even willing to go check, not even willing to take a look. He says, there might be a lion. Yes, I'm sure there's a lion out there, so I'm not going to do what I'm called to do. That what a sluggard is, or a slothful person, is someone who makes excuses rather than taking responsibility. That's what a sluggard or a slothful person is. It's about making excuses rather than taking responsibility. So what we've seen is making excuses. We've seen them unwilling to get out of bed to actually just engage with the world. There's one more verse I want to take a look at, and it's in Proverbs 19, verse 24. The book of Proverbs, if you didn't realize this, it has just kind of a list of proverbs or principles. And Solomon writes this. He says, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. That the sluggard, or the lazy person, or the slothful person, buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. That Solomon here is not saying that people need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Solomon's point is that some people, and you might have met people like this, some people are so sluggardly or slothful that they can't even do the thing that's just right in front of them. They refuse to take any effort. That here the picture is that there is someone who buries their hand in the dish, the food is right there, and they're so slothful that they're unwilling to even just do this. They want somebody else to do all of their responsibilities. Anybody ever encountered that? Or there's just someone who is unwilling to do what they're called to do, their responsibilities. They actually just expect every other person to do it for them. That's what a slothful person is. And that's the kind of the picture in this verse, that they're expecting someone else to do their work for them. They're expecting someone else to feed them. They're expecting someone else to just lift that food to their mouth. That they're so lazy or slothful or sluggardly that what they do is they take no responsibility for what is in front of them. That essentially, what I think they do in their response is that there's food there and they're just basically like, meh, somebody else should feed me. That's what's going on here in this verse. That's what a slothful or a sluggard person is. So the sin of sloth, what I want to be really clear with, the sin of sloth is not about resting and recharging. The sin of sloth is actually about refusing to take on the responsibilities that you might have. That's what a slothful or a sluggardly person. That was a person who is slothful, when they hear the call of responsibility, they would say things like, maybe tomorrow I'm going back to sleep, right? That's that kind of that first verse. I'm just going to keep turning like a hinge back and forth. They'll say, maybe I'll go out there when it's safer because there could be lions. They make up excuses. And then lastly, they wait for someone else to feed them. That they say things like, I can't possibly do that myself. That really, what the sin of sloth is all about, it is a refusal to engage with the responsibilities that we have. St. Augustine's prayer book puts it this way. The sin of sloth is the refusal to respond to our opportunities for growth, service, or sacrifice. It's a refusal of using our energy in the right way. It's a refusal to respond to the opportunities for growth, service, or sacrifice. This is what the sin of sloth is. So hopefully, now that we understand it a bit, it becomes quite obvious why it's so deadly. That the sin of sloth is not, you know, reading and just taking a break from things. The sin of sloth is actually a refusal for you to enter the world using the gifts that God has given to you, using the skills that God has given to you, that it's a refusal to use those things for the growth of the world around us. That the sin of sloth is deadly because what it does is it robs you of purpose, it robs you of meaning, it actually robs you of being engaged in the world. And this is not healthy, it's not helpful, and it certainly isn't holy to have the sin of sloth within your life. It is something that actually causes you to disengage rather than to engage. The sin of sloth is a rejection of God's invitation to life. It's essentially saying no to the world and no to God. That's what the sin of sloth is. It's just like saying, no, I refuse to do the responsibilities that you've given to me. So today, what is my main point after looking at all of this? Well, my main point is really simple. Here's what I want to challenge you with today. Hopefully now that you understand that gluttony is too much of a good thing gone bad, and that the sin of sloth is really about a refusal to enter into the world, a refusal to be responsible, a refusal to, like, use a term, to adult. That's really what the sin of sloth is all about. So today, what is my main point? It's really simple. It's to get rid of gluttony and sloth by living with self-control and responsibility. That's my main point here today. That if we're going to combat the sins of gluttony and sloth, what we need to do is to live with self-control, that's with gluttony, and to live with responsibility, that's with the sin of sloth. So today, my main point is to get rid of gluttony and sloth by living with self-control and responsibility. But how do we do that practically? How do we actually live free from this? Because as I've been talking, hopefully you can start to see how the sin of sloth and the sin of gluttony are really easy to fall into in our world, in our day and age. It might be a part of your life. It might be something that needs to be removed from your life. So how do you do that? Well, today what I want to do is to give you two statements and then kind of two questions. And the two questions I want to invite you to think through are, is gluttony hiding at all in your life? And then lastly, what are you avoiding in your life? I want to explain both of those two things here today. The first question I want to ask is related to gluttony. And remember, gluttony is bigger than food. It's about good things gone bad. And the first question I want to invite you, with all gentleness, to consider is simply this. Is gluttony hiding in any area of your life? That's what I want to invite you to consider. Is gluttony hiding in any area of your life? And remember, gluttony is too much of a good thing. That's where you have too much honey and you vomit it out. It's too much of a good thing. So is gluttony hiding in any area of your life? Is it hiding in any of the areas that are the time that you spend on? Is it hiding in you being too much involved in work, on social media, or you're reading too much, scrolling too much? You could be working out too much. You could be playing too many video games. You could be texting friends, watching Netflix. I'm not sure what might go too much in your world. Maybe it's quilting, hunting, tattooing. I don't know. It can be lots of different things. I think the point is for us to ask, is it hiding in any of the areas of our lives? Because I think that it can hide very easily. I'll share with you where I noticed it in my own life. I noticed it in my own life with around scrolling on social media, that what I noticed was happening is that I would be going to bed and I would just say, I'm just going to look at this, you know, app for like just a few minutes. That's all, just a few minutes. Anybody ever done this before? Right? And then a few minutes turns into like a half hour or even longer or whatever else. Right? These things, what I noticed was, that's the sin of gluttony. It's too much of a good thing. And it was causing me to actually go to bed later than I would want to because I would be scrolling and scrolling and there's no end to it. That's actually the sin of gluttony. I don't know where you might have the sin of gluttony in your own life, but I want to invite you to just ask the Spirit to say, is gluttony hiding at all in any area of your life? And then if it is, what do you do? Well, today I want to give you a statement to get in the habit of saying. And here's the statement I want to give you in the habit of saying. It's simply this. That's enough. That's the statement I want to give to you. That's enough. That if there's an area where there is gluttony, what I want to invite you to do is to simply say, that's enough with that, to put it aside. So perhaps for you, work is the area where there is too much going on. For you, what you might need to say is, that's enough. I'm not checking my work emails at home at late at night anymore. For you, if it's social media, it might be like, that's enough. I'm going to put away my phone and not use it at all, right? That's enough. It might be involved in lots of different things. But I want to invite you to be in the habit of simply saying, that's enough when it comes to the sin of gluttony. That's how I think we start to work out of it, by actually just saying those two words, that's enough. So for the sin of gluttony, I want to invite you to consider, is there any area where the sin of gluttony is hiding? And if so, to get in the habit of saying to that sin, that's enough. Next, I want to take a look at the sin of sloth. And here's the one question I want to invite you to consider when it comes to the sin of sloth. And it's just this. What are you avoiding doing that you need to do? What are you avoiding doing that you need to do? Remember, the sin of sloth, it isn't just about sitting in your bed and that sort of thing and resting and recharging. The sin of sloth is about refusing to do the responsibilities that are right in front of you. So I want to invite you to consider, what are you avoiding that you know you need to do? And what does this look like practically? Well, perhaps what you know you might need to do is to actually deal with a difficult relationship. Perhaps you're putting off having the necessary and messy conversations. That could actually be the sin of sloth, where you're saying no to God's invitation to work something out. Maybe you're avoiding paying bills or simply doing your budget. If you've been putting it off, today is the day to kind of stop that and actually take a step forward to get a handle on things. Maybe where you're seeing the sin of sloth, maybe it's because you need to honestly clean your room. Maybe it's just something as simple as that. There are responsibilities in front of you that you're refusing to do. I'm not sure what the responsibilities you might be refusing are. They could be things like taxes, studying for exam, or maybe you need to make a move in your job or to make a move in your actual life with housing or whatever it might be. I'm not sure where there is something that you might be avoiding. What I want to invite you to consider is simply, what areas of life might you be avoiding doing the right things that you need to? For me, what I realized I was avoiding when I was preparing for the sermon was that my faucet in our bathroom was not working right. And I was avoiding dealing with it because I didn't want to. I was making up all of those excuses. Not that there are lines in the road, but hey, it still sort of works. That's good enough. Why can we not just, you know, leave it as is or whatever? For me, the slothful part, what I realized was there was something I knew I needed to deal with, and I had the ability to deal with it, and I just was choosing not to. I was pushing it off. That's actually slothful or sluggardly. And so what I want to invite you to do is to just think through, is there any area of life that you're really avoiding doing something you need to? And then what I want to challenge you to do is to just say yes to the thing that you need to do. Maybe it's a conversation, maybe it's a phone call with someone, maybe it's something you need to fix or to do. What I want to invite you to consider is, what do you need to say yes to rather than saying no to? So today, what is my main point? My main point is really simple. It's to get rid of gluttony and sloth by living with self-control and responsibility. And then what's my challenge? How do we do that? My challenge is just this. It is to say, that's enough to gluttony, and yes to the responsibilities that you have. That's my challenge for us here today. To say, that's enough to gluttony, and yes to the responsibilities you have. Because what I all know, and what you would all know as well, is that if gluttony and slothfulness is a part of your life, it is not helping, actually. Both of those two things damage not only you, but those around you. So I want to invite you today to say, that's enough to any area of gluttony, and then to say yes to an area of responsibility to what you need to do. That's what I want to invite you to consider here today. That's my challenge, to say enough to gluttony and yes to your responsibilities. So with that, would you join with me here in prayer today? God, today, I pray, might you continue to truly be moving in our lives. Would you give us the strength to say that's enough to the areas of our lives where we're experiencing too much of a good thing? Might you give us strength and discernment in what to say yes from you? Would you be helpful to make sure that we do not turn slothful, turning like a hinge or hiding from lions, but instead, would we be people who say yes to the responsibilities that you are leading us into? I ask this week, might we be able to say that's enough to gluttony and yes to the responsibilities that you lead us into taking? And I pray, might we follow you truly and deeply this week. And I pray this all in the wonderful name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. So to close today, I want to invite you to stand, if you are able, for a closing benediction here this morning. That was just an amen in dog form. That's what that was. So So let me read to you our benediction here for today. And it comes simply from Galatians 5. We read this. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And this is the one I especially want you to experience. He says this, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. And if we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. May that be true for you, may that true be for me, that we would follow him in every part of our lives. As always, if you have any need whatsoever, there are people in our prayer room off to my left to be more than willing to meet with you and to pray with you. If you want to give, you can go to our big green give wall. If you're new, you can go to our Welcome Center. We'd love to be able to connect further with you. And if you're interested, we have the next part of our study guides that are at the Welcome Center as well, and you can grab one of those on your way out. Next week, we're going to be taking a look at another sin and looking specifically at how we can live free from it. And so I hope that you have a good rest of your day and that you might have just a wonderful time. And so with that, grace and peace, my friends. We'll see you all back here next week. Bye-bye.